And I pray for them as they get ready for that. For Tim's friend Joey, as he had that surgery last night, and we don't know the outcome of that, but I pray that they were able to get some repairs done and so that he can have recovery and do that. For George's brother in Florida, as they're there to try and, you know, get him right with the Lord and get him back on track and the way his life should be. And Vivian says she's having MRI this week. We lift her up to you and ask your grace there. And for Barbara, as she deals with Corey, as she deals with this cancer, and we ask and lay that before you, Father. That's always a tough thing. In all of these things, Father, not to speak of, you know, all of the terrorist activity again this week, and the needs we all have, and the stresses of coming into the holidays. There's a lot of things there that can weigh us down, unless we keep our eyes on you, and help us to do that. And I know, Lord, in some of the situations with Sonia, it's so tough, and particularly when they're not going to, you know, do anything. But at least we know, Father, that, you know, we're all in your hands, and ask your grace and blessing to be with Auntie and her family and all of that. Again, we thank you for all that you're doing in us, and we ask your grace as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving and to give thanks to you for all things. And we ask your blessing and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello.
It's really interesting to get into Christmas, and I've got some messages. I'm going to be talking about Christmas. It's interesting that we're right in Sunday school and at Christmas talking about Christmas at the same time, although this will be a little different than that. And it's always interesting to get this time of year because it's like you know, having that Christmas tradition when the kids are little of sitting down, you know, on Christmas Eve or some point and reading, the night before Christmas. You know, the night before Christmas and all to the house. You know, it's like we're here. We are again listening to the same story. You know, and who doesn't know how it's going to turn out? We all know how it's going to turn out. You know, we all know the end of the story. And the plot doesn't change from year to year. You know, every shepherd is in place. Every star is on shining on cue. You know, and no matter how predictable it is, we get to this time of year, and you know we're paying attention to it again, and we're sitting forward, and we want to hear the story, we want to hear it unveiled, and we sort of lean forward with anticipation, and I think that's because no matter how familiar we are with the story of Christmas and all the characters of Christmas and everything that's going on, we particularly as believers know that this story ends up being about us. It has to do with us. It's about God invading a business as usual world and changing things. And so we get to the Christmas story, and we sort of get, somewhere in the back of our mind, we get that. We want to hear the story. We want to hear it how it turns out, even though we all know the story. What happens at the end of the story? Jesus saves us. Jesus is born, right? He's born in the manger, and the shepherds come, and the wise guys come, and then they run to Egypt. And we all know the story, you know, so nothing changes. And so as we look at it, you know, it's always sort of fun for pastors because every year you're going to preach sermons and teach lessons on the same story everybody knows. Everybody knows how it's going to turn out. Everybody knows all the characters, you know. So I'm going to try in the next few weeks, at least, you know, in Sunday school, to come at this a little differently. We're going to look at the story. We're going to look at the characters in the story and maybe try to see it a little differently. And the one who receives, you know, after Zechariah and his wife find out that she's going to get pregnant, and he's all, you know, can't say anything, and he goes home, and she gets pregnant. After that, when the scriptures say, it's a couple of months, 3 months after that, the person who receives the most direct message about what's going to happen is Mary. You know, she's sort of the next, you know, in the sometimes you see in a movie the cast of characters in the order in which they appear, you know, and the next one up is Mary. You know, and we've already seen Gabriel, he's going to come back, but the next one up is her. And Karl Barth said that she's the figure that is raised above all the figures in the Advent because she's the one that this is, it all comes into focus down to her. And while we all need to prepare the way for the Lord in our hearts, in her we see that even more pronounced. Hi, Natalie. Do you have anything you want to share with us? Oh, okay. But the problem we have in focusing on Mary is she's either highly venerated, as she is in the Catholic Church, or in a reaction against that veneration, she's almost totally ignored. I mean, there's like very little in between. You're in the Catholic Church where, you know, or you're in the Protestant Church where, well, it's just Mary, it's just Jesus' mother, you know, okay? You know, and it sort of goes, you know, one extreme to the other. And we, you know, in either way, it gets out of balance, and we miss a beautiful human witness to the coming of Christ, you know. And because of that, her story sometimes becomes ineffective. I mean, on the one hand, let's put it this way. If you want to render someone ineffective and powerless, place him or her on a pedestal, you know. And that's one reaction to it. You know, and the other is to ignore them. And you hear all kinds of stuff. You know, if you're raised in the Catholic tradition, you know, it's Mother Mary, you know, and it becomes something totally different. It's totally different. You know, there's so much there. If you're raised in the Protestant, you know, side of it, it's almost ignored. I can remember somewhere along the line when I was little, we were driving through... I think it's Waverly. I think it was driving through the town in southern Ohio where my cousins live, and we drove by this, you know, a Catholic church, and they had, you know, a beautiful little cathedral. It wasn't a big one, but a beautiful little cathedral, and out in front they had this beautiful marble statue of Mary, and, you know, carved in it was, you know, what does it say? Mary, pray for us now in the hour of our death. You know, for a little kid, that's a little freaky, you know. And, you know, And it's sort of like, you know, when I asked about that, it was just sort of like, well, that's just Catholic superstition. Okay. We either dismiss it or, you know, it's one way or the other. But we are indebted to the Roman Catholic Church because I think because of them and how the Scripture is formed, we have this story in the Scripture, you know. And most of it's found in Luke. And in fact, a lot of scholars think that the writing in Luke chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, at least the first two chapters, is a different style than the rest of the Gospel of Luke. And what we think happened is Luke went back and investigated all of this. And we think what happened is, who do you think Luke got all this information from? Most likely he got it from Mary. And we may be hearing, as you read Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, and basically chapter 2 up through Jesus being a boy in the temple, all of that, Luke interviews Mary, and he's just telling her story. This is what happened. This is what happened with my aunt and uncle, and this is what happened with me, and this is how it all took place. And it's very possible, you know. But her faith becomes something that changes, that enables her to be the one that God chooses. Faith makes all things possible. This is why this story is about us. You know, because some people say, well, do you have any faith? Do you possess a faith? Well, if you have faith, the faith really possesses you. It's supposed to be how it's supposed to work. And, you know, we need to be able to grasp that and hang on to it. Because grace is God's love and care in action, and when we have faith in that, and Mary, evidently, just this young girl, had enough. And that love wasn't something that was just superficial and sentimental, that faith wasn't superficial and sentimental. It was real. And we see things. We all know the story. When you think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, what do you think of? What's the little phrase? Three words. First word. The virgin birth. Yeah, I was going to do it. You know, first word, little word. The virgin birth. You know, and so there's a big controversy. Well, you know, is what does that mean? You know, was she just a young girl? Was this real a virgin birth? But I want to tell you something. Faith, even our faith, is always a virgin birth. Trusting God to deliver you from despair and discouragement, defeat, does not come from the faith of your parents or from the faith of your friends. And we cannot create and prepare the way for that faith. That comes from the Lord. That comes when we discover for ourselves that we have been favored, we have been chosen, and we have been blessed. See, that's what happened with her. She discovered that she had been favored, she had been chosen, and she had been blessed. And our faith comes to us when we realize that God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. Our faith comes to us when we realize we have been chosen, we have been favored, we have been blessed. Now, and we come to that point, and then our faith in our Christ saves us. The issue is, we come to that point, but we don't stay on that point. You ever tried to talk to someone who couldn't track a conversation in a logical manner if you paid them $1 million? They couldn't stay on point, you know? I've been in those meetings where you get in and suddenly, oh, let's get back on point. Let's get, you know, okay, you know, that's a committee thing. Let's go, you know. You know, and we need to get on point. We need to stay on point. Because if we don't stay on that point, Mary was chosen, she was favored, she was blessed. If we don't stay on the point that our faith comes to us through Jesus Christ because we're chosen and because we're favored and because we're blessed, then we get distracted. And instead of looking at that point and having that faith be on point, our focal point is everything else in the world, which for the most part isn't all that good. You know, we get full, I talked about contentment last week, we get full of discontent because we ain't happy, because it ain't the way it's supposed to be, and it ain't the way we expected it to be. We wanted it to be better, and life wasn't supposed to turn out like this, and we have all kinds of things that go down that road. Yeah, well, our focal point isn't where it's supposed to be. You know, our focal point has been changed. And so we need to remember that while we look at Mary, the accepting the virgin birth should be easy, because that's how faith comes to us. That's how rebirth comes to us. We find out that God loves us, that we have been chosen, we have been favored, we have been blessed, and we get born again. So what's so difficult about this? You know, what's so difficult about that? You know, and I'll tell you what, I've been pastor for a long time, and that's an aspect of the virgin birth I have missed until this year. That idea that it's the same for all of us. That our salvation comes at that point when we realize we've been chosen and favored and blessed in Christ. And she was chosen and favored and blessed to bring Christ into the world. We are chosen and favored and blessed to receive the love of Christ into our lives and to place ourselves in him. And when you go through the story, you know, the angel comes to her and starts talking to her, you know, and, you know, you're highly favored and God is with you. And it says she was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, you know, it says what kind of greeting that was. You know, wonder why would an angel come to her and say that to her? You know, what are you talking about? You know, but he tells her not to be afraid. He tells her she's found favor with God, she's been chosen, and all of this. And then she challenges him. You know, now what's interesting is Zechariah challenged the angel. And Zechariah said, oh, yeah, right, how's this going to happen? And Gabriel got ticked. Okay, you're not going to be able to talk until this baby's born. And so he went home, and maybe it was a month or two later before she was able to get pregnant, and then she's pregnant for 9 months. And so, I mean, Zechariah could have spent almost a year without being able to talk. The same angel comes to Mary and says, Mary, you've been highly favored and all of this stuff, and this stuff is going down this way, and, you know, that you've been chosen, all of that. And she says, the same thing. How is this going to work? You know, Zechariah said, how is this going to work? My wife is so old, she could, you know, just get into that old person joke stuff. And Mary's going, this is exactly the opposite. How is this going to happen because I'm a virgin? But she does it. It's not a blind leap of faith. See, and that's what we need to get. For neither one of these guys, it wasn't a blind leap of faith. What was the difference? They said almost the same thing. Zechariah, well, how's that going to work? Mary, how's that going to work? Yeah, there's an acceptance and a rejection. Because you can when you ask that question, how is this going to work? How can this be? That question can be, okay, I get it. How's that actually going to happen? Or, you know, how's this going to happen? Like, man, you're nuts. You know, you got to be kidding, right? And Zechariah evidently didn't think this was going to happen. It was like, you got to be kidding, right? How's that going to work? You know, you can say that it's sort of like saying, I love you. You can say, I love you. And you can say, oh, I love you. And you can say, of course I love you. Communicates two different things. See? And so you got to understand, they both said the same thing, but they said it a little differently. Mary had an acceptance. She just, okay. You know, Zechariah's going, no way, you got to be kidding, right? And her response is, okay, I get it, but I don't understand it. Only after she did that she's chosen, only after that does he explain to her how it's going to work. You know, only after that, you know, that she says, okay, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and you're going to have this child who's going to be the Son of God. You're going to name him Jesus. And she goes, he goes into the promise after she questions him. She had the holy nerve to challenge the angel. You know, Zechariah had challenged the angel too, just a little different attitude. Sometimes we think that we have this faith and it has to be a blind faith and we have to just believe it. And this is what, you know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Okay, knucklehead. Okay. Yeah, that sounds really good, but life doesn't work like that. And God can handle our questions and he can handle our doubts and he can handle those things where we just don't understand. And that's what's where she was. She, okay, but I don't understand. Yeah, I sort of think that one was, you know, Zechariah's going, you know, Mary's going, okay, but I don't understand how it would work. And Zechariah's going, no way, man, that's crazy. You know what I mean? You could say the same thing and it comes across different. Evidently, I mean, however Zacharias did it, Gabriel got ticked at Zacharias. I mean, you can see that. I am Gabriel. I stand at the right hand of God and you don't believe me? You know, you don't get that here. Here he's talking to this young girl. And Zacharias is a priest, been a priest all his life. He should be able to accept whatever God says when the angel says it. He should be smart enough to figure that out. And he wasn't. Here's this young girl. Okay, but I don't understand. Different underlying question. Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I think the angel could see what was in their heart, but the angel's not God. You know, the angel couldn't look in their heart and say, but the angel could tell by You know, just like you can tell, you look at somebody and you hear, and you know, that's the fallacy of having some kind of relationship online, that's texting and stuff, because you can tell when you're talking to somebody and you're, I mean, for the most part, you can tell when you're talking to somebody and they're there with you, you can tell. They can say the same words as somebody else, and this guy's being sarcastic and this guy's being inquisitive. It's two different things, and you can tell. And he could, you know, Gabriel could tell their heart by their actions. You know, I mean, to be a Christian and to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ, you don't have to check your mind at the door. A lot of people think that's what you have to do. You have to just sort of be stupid and believe. And that is as far from the truth as possible. Believing in Jesus as a historical figure and what he did and the fact that he's either a liar, a lunatic, or the Savior is extremely logical. If you're willing to see the truth, you know. And so Mary becomes for us sort of an example of faith. You know, I'm not sure we like that. You know, number one, if we're Protestants and not Catholics, you know, we're going to reject that off that. But I'm sure, I think we like the John the Baptist model of faith. Now, there's a guy you can get behind, you know, rugged, out there, living in the wilderness, you know, dressed like a wild guy, you know, feeding himself, living off the land. You know, there's a hero for us. But Mary? Mary of all people? Yeah, and you know, and a lot of stuff, most things, there's a good logical answer. There's something you can grab a hold of and grasp it. I mean, there are tough questions. I had somebody who's a relatively new believer, you know, say, well, you know, and they're going to another Bible study, and it's like, you know, they were asked and said something about the Holy Spirit, and I questioned it, and they all looked at me like I was an idiot. I don't understand it. And I understand what? I don't understand this God, the Spirit, and God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. And I said, listen, honey, you're asking the same question the church has been asking for 2,000 years. It's okay. None of us fully get that. Okay? We can accept it. We see evidence of it. But you know, because of how it's all worded, we have a hard time grasping it. But it's okay to ask questions. You know? And Mary was asking a good question. So, we look at the story, and what we find is us. You know, and for me, the biggest takeaway in the story of Mary is, you know, the virgin birth was the fact that she found out she was chosen, she was favored, and she was blessed, and so she brought forth, you know, the Son of God. And for us, when we realize how much God loves us, we realize that we've been chosen and favored and blessed. We experience rebirth in that Son. It's the same for us. We shouldn't have an issue with this. And we just need to get that. So, read through the Christmas story. We're going to try and look at a little, you know, look at some oddball sides of it, okay? Father, thank you for being with us in our class this morning, and help us to learn and be open, and help us to ask questions. That's what Mary did. I mean, she asked questions. I don't understand. That's okay. But she realized that she had been chosen and favored and blessed, just as we are in Christ. Bless us to that so that we can stay on point. In Jesus' name.